Welcome to the Mountain Grapevine program on WART Community Radio for Madison County, North Carolina. My name is Chuck Blethyn, your host for today's program. The Mountain Grapevine reports on all things grape and wine in the mountains of western North Carolina, and sometimes elsewhere. My programs will have interviews with movers and shakers in the viticulture and wine industries, as well as some educational sessions on wine etiquette, wine evaluation, and special value-added products that can be made from grapes. Well, welcome to the Mountain Grapevine Radio Show today, everybody. On the telephone, we have with us Janet Bertinason, who's the manager of the Belnico Winery in Nebo, North Carolina. So, Janet, welcome to the Mountain Grapevine.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, everybody in radio land out there is interested in how things go at different wineries and different vineyards and so forth. So why don't you give us a little history and background about you and the winery and the vineyard, how it all got started?
Well, we started our vineyard actually in 2008. We planted our first vines that year with the help of what we call our vineyard family. We have a vineyard work day every year and people help us out with that process. So it was a communal effort to get those planted. But we actually got interested in it when we visited South Creek Winery the year before, and the original owner at that time convinced us that we should look at the possibility of growing grapes because we told him we really wanted to do something with the land here, do something sustainable, and produce a product that we thought people would like. And that got us thinking, after we tasted his wine, which we liked, just down the road in Nebo, and decided that it was something we would explore. So we went to various training sessions at Surrey Community College. We joined the North Carolina Wine Growers Association, which is a wonderful industry association for current and would-be wine grape growers and winemakers. And that kind of started us on our path. We chose some grapes that we wanted to grow and started the process by planting them, and that's pretty much how we got started.
So at this point in time, how big is your vineyard?
The vineyard is 1 acre, so not huge, which means we have to buy grapes from and juice from other vineyards.
What are the kinds of vines that you have in your vineyard now?
We have Sauvignon Blanc. Originally, that was Viognier, which we love, but we had great difficulty growing it because we use sustainable practices in the vineyard, so we replaced it with Sauvignon Blanc, which is a French-American hybrid and has done very well for us. We then have Cabernet Sauvignon and Cabernet Franc. We have Cynthiana, or Norton, as some people call it, and we have another native grape called Isabella, which is a red grape in the Concord family. And, of course, we have a small planting of muscadine.
Whoa, didn't know that.
Yep. We've only made jam with it at this point in time because it's a very small amount. The other grapes keep us busy.
Well, I tell you, the romance of owning a vineyard goes away very quickly when it comes time to planting and then starting to do all of the maintenance.
Oh, yes, it does, and I hope people who are thinking about doing it recognize that.
Well, as you know, I do a lot of consulting for new vineyards here in the mountains, and we have people all the time think, oh, it'll be so wonderful to sit on the front porch and look over our vineyard and have a glass of wine. And I said, people, you better get over it. It's farming. It's work.
Yeah, I think I think some people who do their homework do understand that, and we had a pretty good idea. From talking to other people who had vineyards and also talking to people at the North Carolina Wine Growers Association annual meeting that gave us some good talking to about what we were getting into. And we kind of listened, but not totally. So here we are.
Well, Janet, having gone through the process of making a decision to start a vineyard and certainly a winery, what did you do right from the get-go?
I think in general, the grapes we chose, except for the problem with Viognier, which some other people are able to grow without problem, is make sure you pick grapes that will do well in your part of the state. And part of that is talking to other vineyard owners and talking to the programs like at Surrey Community College to get some input, or at the other state schools that have viticulture programs. You really want to plan ahead for something that is going to produce well and give you as few headaches as possible. And also look around and get an idea of what people are drinking, what people like in your area, and what other vineyards and wineries are producing. You don't necessarily want to produce the same kind of wine that everybody else is making. So we kind of kept those things in mind, and as we were choosing our grapes. So particularly for us, hybrids and native grapes seem to be our best in terms of production.
Yeah, that being sustainable with a vineyard is sometimes a tough call because, as you know, if you're going into traditional grape growing, there's a huge amount of spraying that has to go on and some pretty nasty chemicals, but it's all part of the viticulture industry.
Yes, it is, and we understood that, and it is a struggle. Of course, we do use some organic sprays, like bacillus and things like that for mold and mildew, which is a major problem. It's probably less of a problem for you as you get up into the mountains, but certainly down here, even though we're kind of in the foothills, mold and mildew is a really major problem because this is North Carolina. It's humid, and we have to be really careful about that. And I think that is pretty much an issue for everybody.
Up here in the mountains, Janet, we have a problem here. We have a lot of fog. I don't know if you've been here in the mountains or not, but almost every morning in the summer, we look out here and it looks like we're in a cloud. It's just so foggy. And that means that black rot and downy mildew are absolutely crazy here. I mean,
that's interesting. I didn't know that. That's a major issue for us. I look around our big vegetable garden and say, oh, yeah, we got mold and mildew issues there. And I use Serenade, which is a bacillus natural product, in the garden as well, because it's pretty much universal here.
But you do have black rot there for sure.
We do. We haven't seen much of that, luckily, at this point in time, because that's a bad one.
Yeah, that's the nemesis here. I mean, I can just about guarantee every vineyard around here has got black rot and downy mildew. I mean, it just comes with the territory here.
Right.
And we haven't found a good organic way to deal with it other than try to be clean with it and plant grapes that don't get it as much. Like the native muscadines that we're growing here, for example, are very, very disease resistant, and we hardly see any black rot. And I've got them growing side by side with regular vines that are just taken down to the ground every year. I never get a grape off of them because I just refuse to spray them with anything.
The Norton or Cynthiana and the Isabella, which is a Concord style, are much more resistant to everything. And I think that's, again, their native heritage really helps.
Well, it's part of doing your homework. You paid attention to the right things there when you picked out the types of grapes that you wanted to put in the ground.
Yeah, I think we did, but people around us still grow the vinifera that a lot of people want, like Chardonnay and the Cab Sauv and Cab Franc, which we have in our vineyard, but those are the ones that we struggle with a little bit more, for sure.
Yeah, we have, as I said, the traditional grape growers that use the sprays and so forth. North Carolina State University has in their magazine of weapons against the nasty things in the vineyards, they have, I think, 42 or 43 different chemicals that they recommend that you have on hand, depending upon what you're trying to deal with. Most of the vineyards here who are growing grapes traditionally have a minimum of 15 times a year they have to spray, and most of them spray 24 or 25 times a season in order to have their grapes get ripe enough to make wine. So it's a lot of work and a lot of money, so you can grow them, and you pay a terrible price in one way, but you can grow them.
Yes, you can. And I think when you said money, that's one thing I would say to people if you're thinking of starting a vineyard, especially if it's more than just for home use. You really need to count your money and make sure you have it.
Is that one of the things that you would do differently the next time?
We were lucky. We had a decent plan, and we had some money that we were able to put into it, but it's never enough. All I can say, You're always having to buy I need a new fermenter, I need a new barrel, our filter apparatus went out, I need new cartridges, or, you know, it's just one thing after another. And people really need to take advantage of the services of, like at Surrey, or talking to other vineyards and say, really tell me the truth. What do I have to be prepared for? Because it's like any agricultural enterprise. You've got to have a tractor. You've got to have other types of equipment, and that's not small change to just have that kind of basic equipment. How are you going to pull your nets over your vines, particularly like our Cynthiana and Isabella are on a wide trellis system, and we can't do it by ourselves. So, you know, it's things like that. You really need to prepare yourself.
There's a lot of little surprises.
Yeah, there are. And some of them are pleasant and some of them not so much. But that's part of any farming enterprise, I think. I come from a long line of farmers, and I watched my grandparents, my uncles, work in the fields, and I know. And I worked in agriculture a number of years myself, so.
You know the drill.
I know to some degree what you need to be prepared for, and I want to really encourage people, not to discourage them, but encourage them to really plan well.
If you're there as the manager, who's the winemaker?
Oh, that's me too.
Oh, you're the, okay, we're talking about wearing 10 hats here. I understand that, okay.
Well, it is a small operation, Chuck, and it's just me and Bridget. And we have friends who help when we have special events here at the winery when we need more help.
Sure.
But otherwise, it's basically us, although other people do help bottling and things like that.
Well, I know that some of the best wines in the world are made by what I call the little small specialty shops. Because the batches are so small, they just baby them to death and really make wonderful wine most of the time. I've become familiar with the wine from your place through the competitions with the French Broad Vignerons. I have to say that there is some nice wine coming out of there. Let's take a break about this point in time, Janet, and we'll come back in a minute after we have a commercial break. So hang on, folks. We'll be right back.
Today's program is being brought to you by the Appalachian Mountain farmers for whom this tribute was written. So God made a mountain grape farmer. And on the eighth day, God looked down upon his mountain paradise and said, I need a farmer to grow grapes on these beautiful mountains. So God made a mountain grape farmer. God said, I need to find somebody willing to get up at dawn, feed the farm animals, walk the steep vineyard, check the fence lines, make sure the cows stay in your pasture, do the other farm chores, and smile as he watches the miracle of grapes growing. So God made a mountain grape farmer. I need somebody with arms strong enough to cut down locust trees, cut them to posts, dig hundreds of post holes, carry the heavy locust posts to the vineyard and drop them in the holes and tamp them tight and dig more holes to plant the grapevines. Somebody thoughtful enough to put up bluebird houses on the edge of the vineyard and plant wildflowers in the rows of vines. Somebody willing to string miles of heavy wire in the vineyard for trellising. So God made a mountain grape farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to propagate and plant and train and trellis and prune and water the vines as they grow from year to year. Somebody willing to fetch and cut hundreds of bamboo poles from neighboring farms and carry them into the vineyard to use for training sticks for the mountain grapevines. Somebody with a love of nature and a keen eye willing to walk the steep slopes of the vineyard daily, looking for pests and diseases. Somebody strong enough to haul loads of wood chips to mulch the mountain grapevines to keep down the weeds and slow the soil water evaporation. And when his back is tired from toiling in the vineyard all day and his hat band and bandana are wet with sweat, he still takes time to free a baby chick stuck in the chicken wire fence. So God made a mountain grape farmer. Somebody willing to work all day pruning grapevines, tying up the resulting cordons and canes to the trellis wire without killing the grapevines, and hauling the cut canes out of the vineyard to a compost pile. Somebody willing to take soil samples and petiole samples for testing to make sure the mountain grapevines are getting what they need to stay healthy.
So God made a mountain grape farmer. Somebody with patience who is willing to wait 6 or 7 years to get his very first crop of grapes to sell. Somebody willing to take time to help his neighboring mountain grape farmer put up an electric fence to keep the black bears from eating the grapes just before the autumn harvest time. Somebody who can carve wooden door latches and handles out of scrap wood for the barn and shed doors to replace those that have weathered and worn away. So God made a mountain grape farmer. God needed to have someone willing to ride a mower for hours up and down the steep slopes without fear of rolling the mower over the steep hill or getting stuck in the mud. Somebody who could read the sky for fast weather changes and hurry back to the kitchen just before the rain falls to make sure there's dry firewood stacked by the wood-burning cook stove. Somebody with strong hands willing to weed around the vineyard posts and vines. Somebody who's willing to carry water for the young grapevines in the steep vineyard during times of drought. Somebody sensitive enough to make the roses planted at the end of the vineyards grow and make sure they're cared for and make the vineyard look inviting. So God made a mountain grape farmer. Somebody who could use his bare hands to keep house and home together by patching a roof of his log home with a piece of tin from behind the chicken coop. Tighten a loose fence post with a piece of locust firewood from the back porch. Repair broken fence wire with a scrap of barbed wire. Give the chickens a treat of chickweed plucked from under the rabbit hutch and keep the raised bed garden watered and weeded in his free time. Somebody willing to trek out in the heavy rain and wade through the deep red clay mud to take care of the animals and to endure the cold of the sleet and snow and high blustery winds on the mountains. So God made a mountain grape farmer. God needed someone strong enough to harvest tons of grapes at the end of the season and carefully haul them to a local food processor or winery and yet be frugal enough to keep back enough grapes to eat and make pies and preserves and wine to share with friends and family. Somebody who respectfully bows his head and holds his hands with his wife and children as they say grace before dinner. Somebody kind enough to graciously share his humble life as a mountain grape farmer with his visitors so convincingly that his children will smile and say, "I want to be like Dad when I grow up." So God made a mountain grape farmer. And now back to our regular program.
Welcome back to the Mountain Grapevine, everybody. We've been on the phone today with Janet Bertinason, manager of the Belnico Winery in Nebo, North Carolina. Well, Janet, just before the break, we were talking about some of the things that you were doing there in terms of planting grapes and making wine and all that sort of stuff. Let's talk a little bit more about the actual wines there. How many different kinds of wine do you make?
We have 8 wines, ranging from a dry red Chamberson down to what we call our Sweet Dog Red, which is a interesting combo of Chamberson and Cab Franc, but it's a sweet wine, and then we have several dry whites and then a number of semi-sweet wines in there, including a wonderful strawberry rhubarb, which is kind of unusual, and a Catawba, which is another native grape.
Catawba makes a wonderful wine.
Yeah, it's absolutely lovely, and it's like every wine, it's going to vary from year to year. Last year's harvest, and this vintage is really wonderful, I must say. We just bottled that and the strawberry rhubarb about a little over a month ago, and they both are really wonderful. But I think all our wines are, and we have a really good variety, I think. We have 2 other wineries in our area, as I'm sure you know, and they produce dry Bordeaux-style wines. And we do have some dry wines, but most of ours are hybrids and are made from hybrid grapes. And then we have the others in the mix. So we try to offer something for every palate.
That sounds great. I know you're a boutique winery there. What is the capacity and number of bottles or gallons a year that you produce?
We produce about 400 cases, which is pretty small for a winery, but we don't really want to grow our capacity that much. So that's pretty much where we are.
The technical winemaker in me wants to ask a couple questions about your processing. Are you doing stainless steel or oak barrels?
We're doing stainless for most of our wines, the Chamberson, and then the Sweet Dog Red, which has Chamberson and Cab Franc, is done in oak, but otherwise stainless. I'm experimenting, actually, with the Cynthiana with the oak spirals to see how that works, rather than using barrels.
All right, another question I get asked about a lot is the type of yeast that you use. Do you use liquid yeast or dry yeast?
I use primarily dry yeast. Again, smaller volumes. That's just the way it goes when you're dealing with smaller amounts.
Sure. Okay, so if somebody wants to buy your wine, how do they buy it?
Well, currently we sell only out of our tasting room at the winery in Nebo. We have sold at some other places, but it's really hard for a small winery to go through the distribution process in North Carolina and sell at a discount, of course, through distributors. So this seems to work for us, and that's pretty much, I think, how we're going to continue to do it. It does seem to work, as I said, and people come for the various events we have here and learn a bit more about the winery, and that helps spread the word. And so we do pretty well just selling out of the winery.
As long as you're making good wine, you're going to be able to sell a lot of it. So just keep up the good work there.
Thank you.
Tell me about the special events you mentioned. What kinds of things go on at your place?
A few weeks ago, we had an event called Art Uncorked, where we had a number of art and craft people who came to sell their goods. It's a way of supporting the local arts community. And we do that every year. And we also, like most of the wineries around here, do have music. We don't have as much as others, but we start our Sunday summer music series this coming Sunday with a group called Sorella Jack. So we have music about 2 times a month during the summer. We also participate with 3 other wineries in the area in Wine Hops, kind of an opportunity for people to sample wines at the 4 different wineries in the area.
Sounds like a lot of things going down in your neck of the woods.
It is pretty busy. It's quite amazing. I think people, when they get out in Nebo and just over the line into Burke County, are pretty amazed by what's out here.
Well, we certainly want to do our share of duty in trying to promote what's going on down your way. As you know, I think you're members of the French Broad Vignerons, too.
Yes, we are.
So you get a lot of visibility through those activities, and I know you've participated in the Asheville Wine and Food Festival every year, and that seems to be going well for you.
Yes.
Super. I just talked to Bob Bowles the other day, and they're getting ready to do it again this year, but they're going to have an outside venue.
Oh, really? Wonderful.
It's going to be fun to see how that's going to work out.
Good.
Let's talk about on the label design and so forth. Who does your labels, or how are those made?
The original label, the artwork is down in the winery, the tasting room, was actually done by my college roommate. As you know, we're kind of a quirky little winery, and we feature dogs on tractors. That's part of who we are. We're a farm, and I asked my college roommate to do a drawing featuring a dog on our old Ford tractor, and she came up with a wonderful label, which we really love. And then we go through a label company that has an artist who renders it so it's ready for printing, print our labels as we get them approved by the state, or by TPB, and then we get them printed. Small, again, so we deal in pretty small numbers.
How long is the process to get your labels approved these days by TDB?
I'm thinking the last one we had done probably took about, it wasn't too bad, I think it was about a month.
Oh, that's pretty quick turnaround, I think.
Yeah, I think it varies depending on how busy they are, and since they have to approve labels for everything that's alcoholic, with all the craft breweries and things like distilleries starting up in North Carolina, I think are pretty busy.
I know we're growing leaps and bounds here. I was just recounting the other day when my wife and I first came here and bought our little farm to start our vineyard, we had 60 licensed wineries in the state of North Carolina. And at the annual conference of our North Carolina Muscadine Grape Association, which I'm on the board, it was announced at that time in January this year, there are now 216 licensed wineries and meaderies in the state.
Oh my goodness! Every time I hear someone talk about the numbers, it just keeps growing. It's pretty amazing.
It is, and one of the reasons, of course, is the great growing conditions we have for grapes here.
Yes, you're right, and I think people are kind of surprised by that. Don't you think they're surprised when they learn how many states produce wine?
Yes, absolutely. We have another problem to deal with, and we have a lot of interstate traffic that comes through this region. As you know, Interstate 40 goes east-west through Asheville, and Interstate 26 sort of goes north-south through Asheville. So we get a lot of people coming in here on our farm tours. My wife and I experimented 2 years ago, and this year we're doing it again. I have people coming in here, and they say, well, gee, I never realized there were vineyards here in the mountains, or didn't realize that many wineries around here. You know, they stop here and stop there, and it's always something that's surprising. People had no idea that you could grow grapes in the mountains. I mean, that kind of stuff. But it's a growing industry. We're committed to help develop the viticulture industry here in the western part of the state.
That's great. Well, we are too.
Yep.
And supporting family farms.
Yes, that's a big, big part for us on our family farms that we do here in farm tours. We have kids coming out of the city, and they've never seen a real live chicken before, pick the eggs up out of a nest, that kind of thing. So we're trying to promote grow your own stuff around here.
Yes, absolutely.
What's coming up this season, this fall, that we should know about your place?
Well, as I said, we're starting music next Sunday, or this coming Sunday, June 4th. And then, actually, following week, we have our second wine hop of the year called Very Berry, where people go to the four wineries in our area and get a little something to nosh on related to berries. And then we have music the following weekend. And all of that information is on our website, which is elnicowinery.com, or on our Facebook page. So people can catch up with what's going on. And the Tourism Authority in McDowell County also keeps up with things like that in our area.
Okay, could somebody call you or send an email to arrange for a tour or a visit?
Yeah, the email is elnicowinery@hughes.net, and our number is 828-659-3168, and that's also on our Facebook page.
You might want to spell Belnico Winery.
Okay, it's BELLENICHO.
Well, folks, there you heard it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. I've got a standing open invitation for all of you folks to come down and visit Janet at the Belnico Winery in Nebo, North Carolina. Janet, we really appreciate your taking time to be with us today and sharing some of your stories.
Well, I really thank you for the opportunity. It's been great.
Well, I'm looking forward to tasting some more of your good wine this year, that's for sure.
Oh, great. Well, we'll be glad to see you.
Super. Well, folks, we've been on the phone today with Janet Bertinason, the manager of Belnico Winery in Nebo, North Carolina. Get out there and try some of their wonderful wines. We'll call that a wrap for today's program.
This is the Mountain Grapevine on WART Community Radio from Addison County, North Carolina. If you have a friend whom you think might enjoy my program, tell them my Thursday programs will be rebroadcast on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Chuck Blethyn signing off for today. Cheers!